Welcome to episode 104 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will know the real difference between doubt and hesitate, understand why your brain chooses the word doubt 99% of the time, know expressions such as self-doubt and to cast doubt on something, and discover one of the longest BBC radio shows that penalizes hesitation. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode. Today we are going to follow a tradition that we really have on this particular podcast, which is to look at words that in many cases might have two words in English and only one word in Spanish. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing today. And those two words are going to be doubt and hesitate. Doubt and hesitate. And so which word do you use when you're translating this one word in Spanish, which in this particular case is the verb dudar, right? And so as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you, Daniel?
I'm fine. Yes.
Good. Raring to go for another episode.
Raring to go. Good.
As always.
As always. That was it.
With ganas.
So con ganas, sí, absolutely. Yeah. So we got these two words, right, Alistair? Doubt and hesitate. And it's kind of interesting because I think we've done a podcast in the past, a podcast episode, where we covered the whole idea of doubt. But it was in a slightly different context, wasn't it? Because a lot of Spanish speakers, when they are at a conference or whatever they might, context where they're listening to a presentation or something, right? They might put up their hand and they might say, oh, I have a doubt, right? Mm. And in that case, I think the previous episode that we did was all about trying to avoid that particular construction, because in English it's better to say I have a question, or sorry, I have a question, can I ask a quick question,
right. That type of thing. A few questions, right? Or
exactly,
yeah, it's a classic I have a doubt. No, we don't use doubt in that way. When
that's
you have
right.
When you want to ask something, you want to ask somebody a question to get an answer
exactly.
To your question, to get information, I suppose, no, a reply.
That's
so
right.
You wouldn't
that's
say
right.
I have a doubt. So we did cover that, I'm pretty sure, no, previous episode.
We did. And so today's episode, we want to kind of go that little bit further. It was very in similar idea, but there's this difference between doubt and hesitate, isn't there, Alistair? And so maybe we can just jump into that idea, or at least give a definition of what doubt is. Maybe that's and
yeah.
Then also go into other ideas of doubt, right? That's
yeah.
I think that's what we want
and
to
then
do.
Move on to this word hesitate, which maybe is less well known. Perhaps some of our listeners don't know the word, or maybe they've heard it but not sure exactly what it means, or they know it means dudar, but they're like, but what's the difference with the other word doubt? Well, this actually came about because one of my clients asked me this question directly. They said, Ali, what's the difference between doubt and hesitate? Because I've heard this word hesitate, but it's dudar, and doubt is dudar. It's the same. And
yeah,
that's the
exactly
point.
Right.
It's like, well, in English, it's not. It's connected, which we'll come on to later. There is a connection between these two things. But for us, in English, at least, we think of it as two very separate and different actions. It's not the same thing. Although, yes, there is a connection that we will come to later.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is that difference, and when would you use each word? This is the point of today's episode, really, no?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so I should say thank you. I mentioned to Ricardo, who was
okay.
the client, who's been a
okay.
long-term client of mine, and he's a big fan of the podcast. He listens to
oh,
every
is he?
Episode, so I think he'd be very pleased to have his name mentioned. So thanks for this one.
Absolutely.
We owe you, Ricardo, for this episode.
Absolutely, Ricardo. Thank you very much. Thank
yeah.
you very much. It's
the
always
the
great
checks
to be
in the
inspired.
Yeah, the check's in the post, as they say, which is not true.
So let's go into the definition, right, Alistair, in terms of the actual idea of doubt, right? That's probably what we want to do first.
Yeah,
in terms
to begin of, yeah. with. Well, the meaning, I just looked the definition, basically, and it says a feeling of uncertainty or a lack of conviction. Mm-hmm. You feel uncertain about something. So it's the idea of uncertainty or lack, falta, no, a lack of conviction in something. So there is an example. I doubt my ability to do the job. Or I am doubting, you could even say, my ability to do the job. Now, this is interesting because this leads to a concept of self-doubt. So it's like auto-dudando. So you're doubting yourself, your own ability to do something, in this case, your job. Now, of course, you can doubt other people's ability. Your colleagues or your boss could doubt your ability, which hopefully doesn't happen because that's not good.
Yeah.
So you've got doubting other people's ability to do things. You're not convinced that this person is capable to do something for some reason. You don't have the skills or whatever, or qualifications. Or you can have your own self-doubt where you're doubting yourself. Can I do this? I'm not totally convinced I can. So you're unsure or you're questioning. Now, this is interesting because in Spanish you do have cuestionar as a different verb to preguntar, which sounds like the English verb question, no?
Yeah.
Now, we use question for both concepts. To ask a question, which is not I have a doubt, as we've said, it's to ask a question. But if you question yourself and you question your own abilities, you are showing self-doubt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're questioning somebody else's abilities to do something. So you could use doubt and questionar in the same meaning, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. Absolutely. That whole idea of the actual definition of doubt and that whole idea of self-doubt as well. And I think that's kind of a very interesting topic in general, because especially connected and associated with languages and foreign languages, because we often have that sort of self-doubt in our mind, right? It's really very, very common.
All the time. People
all the time, right?
Say, oh, my English is terrible. I'm very bad. And, you know, they're full of self-doubt and they're questioning their English abilities. And we say, no, your English is great. You speak really well. What do you, you know, it's a lack of confidence, no, or conviction in your own abilities.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is something that is very, very important to work on, in fact, you know, trying to make yourself feel more confident, reduce that self-doubt. And I think that, you know, people should try to measure themselves as well in terms of that level of self-doubt that they have, and try to work on that, because that is in many cases one of the key things that stops people from communicating, this idea of self-doubt and the level of self-doubt that they have. Often it requires somebody else to be there. That's why obviously we do coaching, and we, you know, having somebody there next to you and helping you is often the best way to solve it, right? But
I think, because it leads to fear. Your self-doubt means you're afraid to speak English or another language, whatever it may be, in front of other people, like in work situations, meetings, because you're afraid, you're terrified. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want people to think badly of me or think my English is very bad. So this is self-doubt, no? You're not convinced by your own abilities, you know? It's a lack of conviction, as we said. And often we have to help people go, no, really, your English is very good, don't you know? And it doesn't matter about making mistakes. It depends which mistakes, but it's more important to speak and be fluent than to worry about, you know, grammatical errors or using the wrong preposition or and that's a big problem with language speaking, isn't it? Some people are just incredibly confident and they'll just speak and their level is actually, I often say this to myself, I'm sure there's people you think, oh, wow, they're so fluent and their English is so good. I'm sure if I listened to them, I'd say, no, actually, their English is terrible. Well, terrible, it's not that good. They're making loads of mistakes, but they don't care. They just speak. And everyone is really impressed with them, like, wow, their English is so good. But this is an illusion in a way. It's just they're so confident, so self-confident, they have no self-doubt at all.
Sure.
Whereas my client or student, whatever, is like, so full of self-doubt and so afraid of making a mistake they don't speak. I say, actually, your English is actually better than this person's. It's just you're convinced that it isn't.
That's right. That's right. And that only can really be solved, right? So obviously we work with those types of clients, and we help them. We try to build their confidence. And it's a process. It's a really, really important process, and it's a step-by-step process. But at the same time, the most important person that needs to believe it, more than, you know, anybody, even if we say to the client, oh, you know, your English is great, amazing, and they need, you know, the person that really needs to believe it is the client, right?
Yeah.
So I can believe it as their coach. I can really say to them, look, I really believe that your English is amazing. But the person who has to really believe it is that individual, that particular client,
right?
And we have to get that there. So,
and part of the fluency community is that, no? It's helping people. They have a safe environment with people similar to them, non-native speakers trying to improve their English, and with us, and they feel comfortable with us, I hope, I'm sure they do. And they have an environment where they can practice and speak to each other, and, you know, it's not a terrifying experience like in front of your boss or in an important meeting with a client. There's no risk involved, and hopefully that will help to install in them more self-confidence and have less self-doubt, and enable them to become more fluent, which is why it's called the fluency community. That's the whole idea behind it.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit like yesterday when I was having a session myself with the fluency community members, and I kind of created the idea of we obviously put them into breakout groups, and I kind of created the idea of those breakout groups are a little bit like a playground. You know, you're at school, and I'm not saying that the playground at school is a safe place, because it generally isn't,
often
right?
Often isn't. Bullying, full of bullies, maybe.
But a metaphorical sort of safe space, a safe playground to go out there and just try everything that you want to, right? In a safe environment.
Experiment and give it a go, and don't worry about if you get it wrong.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good. So coming back to this whole idea of doubt itself and self-doubt, which I think was a very good, interesting idea to explore just there, because a lot of the sort of mindset of language learners is really, really important and is affected quite a lot by self-doubt. That you can also use doubt as in cast doubt, right? As in the idea of questioning authenticity, right? As well, Alistair.
Yeah. So, there's a nice expression. You can use the verb to cast. Now, people think of cast as in actors. No, at the end of the film, you have the list of the cast, the people who appear in the film. Now, this is a totally different meaning. So you say, to cast doubt upon something. It's like a fixed little phrase, to cast doubt upon something, which is to question or doubt the authenticity. So I've got an example here. Some doubt has been cast upon the authenticity of the painting. So this is all to do is think about fake. You know, people will know fake from fake news, which has unfortunately become, you know, a very topical expression in the last few years. So obviously you can have a fake painting. Another word is a forgery. To forge a painting is where, you know, somebody pretend they paint a painting and say it's by Picasso, and it isn't. It's a fake or a forgery, and tried to sell it for a lot of money. Now, of course, you'll have experts, no? And the expert's job is to look at this painting and cast, and they may cast doubt upon its authenticity. So they're not sure if it's a Picasso or not. And they go, oh, maybe it isn't. So you're casting doubt upon something.
Absolutely.
It's quite useful expression.
I think just talking about that particular word is kind of interesting. I noticed the way you pronounced it and the way I pronounced
it. Oh, yes. We mentioned this before, haven't we, in previous episodes. Our English accents are different, because I'm a northerner from the north of England, and you're a southerner from the south coast of England, as far south as you can get.
Yeah.
Bournemouth.
Yeah.
On the coast, the English Channel. And so if you say the word first.
Okay, I'll say it. I would cast doubt.
Yeah, and
on
I would
something.
And I would cast doubt on something.
That's
and this is the difference between one major difference. So if we met for the first time and in the first sentence you said cast doubt, I go, oh, you're from the south. I don't know where exactly, but you're somewhere down south. You're a southerner. And
that's
I said cast doubt, you go, you're a northerner, aren't you?
That's a northerner. That's right.
You wouldn't know exactly where.
No.
because I've lost my Liverpool accent, so you couldn't locate exactly which city, but you'd say you're from the north. So this is a thing that it's interesting. Northerners and Southerners, we're talking about England here,
not the
United Kingdom exactly. We can tell where we're from, well, north or south, maybe no more than that. But you go, oh, you're a Southerner, oh, you're a Northerner, because you say bath and cast and laugh. We said before, you would say ask a question. And I say,
I would say ask a question.
And I say ask. So I've got the Spanish ah.
It's true. It's true.
So in Spain, it's ABC, no? Ah. Whereas ABC, you've got this this ah sound is an elongated vowel sound.
It's the vowel sounds. The vowels are tricky in English, aren't they? But and then, of course, you've got the difference between, you know, northerners and southerners as well, which is crazy.
But, different in many, many things, but this is one of them, linguistically speaking.
That's right.
Apart from culturally speaking.
Yeah, perhaps. I just noticed that when you started speaking. I was like, oh, that's definitely, cast. You know, he says cast and I say cast. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you are for people who may be interested in these little differences within
that's right.
people from the UK or from England, at least.
Yeah. So there you go, authenticity, right? The whole idea of fake, forgery, and to cast doubt upon something. And let's get now back, because right at the beginning of this episode, we were kind of talking about this idea of doubt and hesitate. So let's come to this idea of hesitate. And this is the word that probably most Spanish speakers would not be so familiar with and would not necessarily go, they would sort of not automatically go to necessarily. They probably just, their brains would sort of say, okay, well, do that, tengo dudas. So they'll kind of go to doubt, right?
Exactly.
But hesitate is an important one to know because we use it specifically in certain specific situations, right, Alistair?
Yeah. Well, again, I looked for the definition. It said, pause or indecision before saying or doing something. So it's, well, I suppose the Spanish speaker may be thinking, well, let's do that, no? We say yes, but no, it's not the same, at least for us, it's not the same. It's a pause and a moment of indecision before you do something. It's like it's hesitation with an action, no? Before saying or doing something. This is very important, the saying and the doing. So the example that I had with say is she hesitated, unsure what to say next. So it's the action of speaking that you, so you're about to speak or and then you pause for, could be half a second, could be a very, very short time or a bit longer because you're unsure about what you're going to say. And this is a hesitation in the sense of, you know, you stop speaking and you pause and then maybe you start again after a second and you continue. So it's a sort of physical action as opposed to... So you're not doubting anyone's ability or any kind of authenticity of anything. Simply, I start to speak, then I pause and then continue. Or not continue, depends, but you're definitely hesitating. It's just, to us is a slightly different thing, from...
I think so. And I think the way that you can look at it in some ways is like doubting you can't see it necessarily. You know, it's more of a mental process, right? Whereas a hesitation is actually something physical that you can actually see that person stopping in their tracks or, you know, remaining still for a little bit. And you can say, ah, well, they're actually hesitating.
That's true. I thought that's a very good... Yeah, doubting is something can happen. It's in your mind. It can't be seen usually, but yes, this you can see. Other people can see, ooh, why is she hesitating? Why is she not continuing speaking? Whatever action it may be. You could hesitate about answering the phone. So your phone rings and you go to take your phone to answer it, but then you're, maybe it's an unknown number. And you hesitate about, ooh, should I answer this or not?
Yeah,
because maybe it's usually, in my case, is always someone trying to sell me something. So I hesitate for a second and then then you take your decision. Either you don't answer it or you do. But there's that moment of hesitation, which could just be, it's a second, 2 seconds, half a second, whatever it may be. So somebody could see that. If you're observing me, you would see me hesitate. You know, pick up the phone and then stop for a second, look at the phone, think, and then do something, whether that's answering the phone or not. So as you say, it's something you can see visually, no hesitation.
It's and that kind of brings us on very nicely to actually a little story that we have, right, Alistair? Because it's a little anecdote about a show, in fact, a radio show in the United Kingdom. It's a BBC radio show. I'm a kind of quite a big fan. My wife always says that I'm a massive fan of the BBC. And basically, I think the only thing that I really miss from the UK is probably the BBC. But
I think me too, but not TV, but radio, BBC and Radio 4 in my case. So the BBC obviously has various radio stations, you call them channels on TV, stations for radio.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, BBC, well, like on the TV as well, no? BBC 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sure.
And you've got various, it's like with Spanish TV and Spanish radio, you know, you've got different channels or stations. So the one I miss most is Radio 4. It's called Radio 4. Mm. So it's the four, it's spoken. It's not music. It's all speaking.
Yes, that's right.
And they have all kinds of, what we're doing now, exactly like this, no?
Yeah.
All kinds of different programs to do with news or topical events, well, many different things. But it's all talking. It's talk radio, no? Not music. Yeah. And they have many, many incredibly long-running programs, unbelievably long. I think some of them are in the Guinness Book of Records for, like, the longest-running programs in the world.
Sure.
And the one I'm thinking of is a very popular game show, as we say, a competition, a game show called Just a Minute. Solo un minuto, just a minute. And I think this has been going since before I was even born, and I'm 61 years old.
Right.
So this program is more than 60 years old, and there's a pro every single week. It has an episode, and I think they've never missed one in 60 years, which is quite incredible when you think of it. There's more than one of these in the BBC. There are several, which is quite amazing, no?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Absolutely. In terms of the types of shows, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they just go on and on and on for year after year after year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And often, you know, the presenters die. There's been, you know, most, obviously, if they've been going 60 years, maybe they've had 2, 3, 4 different presenters because they, you know, they die or whatever.
Yeah.
Or they stop and then another guy takes over.
Absolutely. Probably we should explain what BBC is. It's the British Broadcasting Corporation. That's what it stands for, so the BBC.
The state broadcaster, no? Like,
that's right.
Television on Española would be the equivalent in Spain.
That's right, exactly, exactly.
Anyway, so Just a Minute. And you can play this game. People might know it. It's and it's basically where you have to speak on a topic on a for 1 minute without stopping. And if you can speak all the way through for a minute on that topic, which is very difficult spontaneously, you win a point or whatever.
Exactly.
And the other team or the other contestants can challenge you at any point. So when you're speaking, you there's three things you can't. They can challenge you on the basis of repetition, deviation, or hesitation. And here's the word hesitation is the noun of to hesitate. So repetition is obvious. You say the same word twice, so and they say, oh, you said and twice. So the intro, and they take over the topic and they start speaking. That's how
they
it
can
works.
Be that detailed, can they? It can be literally the word and.
Yeah, ah or and. So it's incredibly difficult not to repeat.
Oh,
you
it's
know,
extremely
the.
Difficult, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just big words. It's ah, the, and. Now imagine trying to talk on a topic for a minute without saying and or the twice. It's almost impossible.
That is quite crazy.
It's really difficult. Yeah. Very few people ever get the whole minute.
Sure.
Anyway, so deviation, you deviate from the topic. As we do a lot in this podcast, we go off on a tangent from the original topic. So if you start talking about something not directly related to the subject, they interrupt you and say, deviation.
Right.
And then the final one, hesitation. So what's that? Well, obviously, imagine if you're having to talk about a topic for a minute without repetition or deviation, it's extremely difficult. So at some point, you're going to go, and they go, the hesitation. So you've got to keep speaking the whole time fluently without pausing. So as soon as you pause for a half a second or you go, hesitation.
Yeah.
And you've lost. Well, not you've lost. It's like the other team takes over the topic
from
you. Now, that's how the game works. It's a great game. It's very funny.
And
you can play it at home with your family. but and hesitation is that pause of, like that.
And you can see it, as we said, it's something physical. Like, you can see when somebody hesitates physically, like, I don't know, when you see a sports person physically hesitate before they do something.
Exactly.
Or you can see, like, often it's described in a in a novel or something, no? Somebody hesitates before they pick up the phone because they're not sure whether they want to pick up the phone.
Or to say something because they think, oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. Could be rude or impolite or whatever reason you hesitate. No? In this case, it's a radio program. You don't see it, but you hear it.
Yeah, of course. So well, but the other contestants do see it, don't they?
Yeah, well, the other contestants are there in the studio. Yeah. They hear it and they see it and they interrupt and say, hesitation. And then obviously you've got the person, what would you call it, the game show host.
Yeah.
Host, no? Anfitrion. Yeah. And the game show host is the one who has, he's the referee, the arbitro. So he decides to accept the challenge or not.
Yeah.
So he says, no, he didn't hesitate. Continue. Or, no, I don't think he deviated. I think he was talking on the topic. Continue.
Yeah.
And that's the job of the host.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Nicholas Parsons. I mean, nobody will know who he is, but in Britain, incredibly famous guy because he did many other things on television. And this guy, I think he died a few years ago at the age of 90-something, and he was still presenting that program until the day he died into his 90s.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and he'd done the job for something like 55 years as the presenter of that program, some incredible. So he'd never missed an episode for about more than 50 years. He only missed because he died, basically. It's the only reason he stopped.
Good. So there you go. That's the whole. That's a kind of little anecdote, a little story to bring to life the whole idea of hesitation, right? Because right at the beginning of this particular episode, we were talking about doubt and hesitate. And so, what is hesitation? And so, by bringing this story to you, this classic BBC radio show that's been going on for years and years and years, where the particular contestants can stop the opposing team by saying repetition, deviation, or hesitation, right? That's hopefully gives you a clear idea of what actually hesitation is.
Because they don't say doubting. That is not That is not a challenge to say doubting. You go, no, hesitation. So it is a very good example of actually of the meaning of the word and the difference. That in that context, doubt is not the word. Hesitate is the word. Now, in Spanish, it would be dudando, would be using the same word.
Sure.
And there you have the difference in English.
Absolutely. Good. Alistair, that was really good. Very interesting. Mm. I'll just give a quick summary. Obviously, at the beginning, we said the difference between doubt and hesitate can be confusing because we've only got this one word or verb in Spanish, dudar, right? So we wanted to clear that up. We also kind of referenced back to the whole idea of I have a doubt, which really should be I have a question, which is something that we covered previously in another episode. Then we gave the definition of doubt. And we also introduced the whole idea of self-doubt and the fact that many Spanish speakers or people in general, when they're learning a foreign language, have a lot of self-doubt and how they have to overcome that self-doubt, which is vitally, vitally important. Then we talked about the whole idea of authenticity and the whole concept and phrase of casting doubt and the different ways you can pronounce cast, both in the north and the south.
In my case.
Exactly, the different pronunciation differences there in different parts of the UK. Then, of course, we brought in the whole idea of hesitate, what that actually is, and how the difference between doubting and hesitating, and the fact that when you hesitate, most of the time you can see it physically. And then that little story about that classic BBC radio show where you can actually stop someone and say, you were hesitating, or there are others obviously as well, repetition, deviation, but hesitation is the one that we wanted to kind of highlight there, because that is where you can either see or hear that they are hesitating, right? And they can be challenged in that particular show on that.
Indeed.
Good. Alistair, thank you very much for your time. Really amazing as usual. And I'll see you again next week, okay?
Yes, I'm sure. Cheers.
Speak soon. See you then. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.